The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us now pray the prayer of the day together. Everlasting God, you have wonderfully established the ministries of angels and mortals. Mercifully, we grant that as Michael and the angels contend against the cosmic forces of evil, so by your direction, they may help and defend us here on earth. Amen.
A reading from 1 Timothy. Of course, there's great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life, to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in the unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those in this present age who are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm not much of a fan of televangelists. I tend to listen for a bit, but then keep flipping the channels when the frustration sets in, which, quite honestly, usually doesn't last very long. I listened a little longer this time. That day, he was talking about God and wealth. I'm paraphrasing here, but this is what he said. "We are children of God. Now, if I allow my little children to run around in rags, they reflect poorly on me. People will say, 'Why do you let your child run around in rags? Can't you provide for them?' They would be right. I shouldn't let them do that. They are a reflection on me. In the same way, I am a child of God. The way I dress is a reflection of God. Do you think God would want me running around in rags? No, I should look good, dress nice, let other people know that God has blessed me, because God is just wanting to shower blessings on you if you look the part. The more you allow it, the more God will shower them on you too." Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, that is, unless you've read the gospel text for today, or really any gospel text ever. The televangelist's message doesn't sound reasonable, really, because God has a child who uniquely embodies God's own self. He is the child who tells this story about a wealthy man dressed like the televangelist that I saw on TV, and a beggar who dresses like the Son of God. Here are some things Jesus has said before. This one we didn't get in this summer's lectionary earlier in Luke. "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bread, nor bag, nor money, nor even an extra tunic." Or this one from the lectionary the day before we started in the office. "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Or this one that we skipped over in the lectionary in early August, between the parable of building bigger barns and the one about keeping your lamps lit. "And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these." The only conclusion that I can draw is that clearly Jesus should have watched more of this televangelist. Maybe God would have blessed him with a pillow for his head, or with crumbs that fell from the rabbi's table if he just, you know, dressed a little better. This parable, and it is a parable, a story that Jesus is telling to convey a message. This parable, then, is a story from the actual Son of God about who he would choose as a reflection of God. The one who is nicely dressed loses out. The one in tatters is honored. The parable stands as a stark rejection of a gospel of unaccountable wealth, the gospel of being showered with blessing just because you wanted to be showered. In God's world, wealth doesn't mean privilege. It doesn't mean that you get what you want when you want it. It doesn't mean that you get blessings on demand. It certainly doesn't mean you get to bargain your way out of anything. And it definitely doesn't mean you get to look past those without wealth. There is actually nothing in this parable that says that the rich man went to Hades because he was rich or wearing fine purple linen. Jesus never made a universal condemnation against all wealth. When we join in on the conversation that the rich man is having from Hades with Abraham, who is far away, we experience the gospel. The rich man went to Hades because he allowed Lazarus to become invisible, because he failed to use his wealth to bridge the gap that separated him from Lazarus. The one thing the televangelist was maybe close to getting right is that what we wear is a reflection of God. But it isn't our nice clothes or our tattered clothes that reflect where we came from or who raised us. It's the clothing of how we live our lives that reflect God. Jesus revealed through this story that the rich man loved his money more than his people, his possessions more than the poor, his clothes more than compassion, and his extravagant feasts more than sharing food with the hungry. That was the rich man's reflection for the world. When we love people more than money, when we love the poor more than our possessions, when we love compassion more than our clothing, and when we love sharing food with the hungry more than extravagant feasts, we reflect God in the world, a parent who strives to raise us right by dressing us with what makes the world a better place. Once you love like this, you can't go back. You cross a chasm and then see and understand human need differently. Your vision is forever altered and you see the world and all its inequality. But you see the world without walls and see the person in front of you as a beloved child of God. In that love and in that seeing, you reflect God. If we are willing to see that what we put on is about a lot more than our clothing, then we can easily see that who we are as human beings can be a reflection of God to others. Both what we reflect and how we reflect it matter. Reflections don't come from looking good, but by doing good. God in this world and the world to come has investment in how we use our wealth, resources, conversations, and actions to be in the world with every single other human being, child of God, there is out there. How we handle and view our spending, giving, speaking, praying, and acting is absolutely a concern of God's. And God has some stern words about what we should be doing in order to be a reflection of God in the world. Our temptation is to let someone else take care of it. Send someone else to do our bidding. But every relationship matters. Every opportunity matters. Every act matters. So, Mr. Televangelist, I'll tell you this. God chooses each of us to be a reflection of God. And that means, even though we can do quite a bit to look pretty good, most of us still have a lot of wiggle room in bridging the gap between us and those we don't even realize that we're keeping invisible. Thankfully, as David Lowe said, this is a parable and not a prediction. And we have the power, through God's reign, Jesus' example, and the Holy Spirit's movement, to work on living a different ending. Amen.